Human beings on planet Earth are very essential to the evolution of the cosmos, much more so than they realize. And the reason they don't realize it is because their lives, essentially, are limited to the material exploitation of the potential of their existence. They have no contact with the intersecting planes or worlds that have hidden, vibratory relationships with the material plane, so that man lives, on planet Earth, a little like a stranger in the cosmos. He is not a being totally integrated into the cosmos. And because of this lack of integration, he has no capacity to understand the laws of the cosmos and is forced, by his reason and intelligence, to develop ways of living as well as possible. But living as well as possible, living a life of ease, pleasure, and relaxation, is not enough. In the past, we've known civilizations that reached levels of progress high enough to allow certain classes to live in luxury, to live in ease, to relax, to enjoy life, in other words, and after a few centuries, these same civilizations reach the final stage of their lives, they eventually decline. And why? Because man cannot live by materialism alone. Man must understand the spirit behind matter, manipulate the spirit energy that gives birth to matter, in order to give matter a dimension, a quality, a vibration that lies beyond his animal astrality, that lies within the very complacency of his infinite mental power. And it's at this point that man can truly find himself on the same level as what we once called the gods. Because man possesses, within himself, a power, an enormous creative power that can free him from everything and allow him to do anything. Individuals on our planet are besieged by a rhythm of life that can only lead them to material death, when in fact material death is an insult to intelligence, because it stems from the power of matter over spirit, when in fact man must, by his natural right, by the fact that he is by natural right, a son of light, man has the right to immortality. Man has the right to recognition by the eternals. Man has the right to conquer the cosmos. Man has the right to vitalize his ether. Man has the right to all kinds of things, but he's cut off from this right. Why? Because he's not a real man. He's a man rooted in his animal nature. He is a man disturbed by his own emotions. He is a man unable to see himself as he is. And this inability to see himself as he is the burden of his life, is the impossibility of his life, is the incapacity of his will. And this has been going on for centuries, and centuries, and centuries. When we tell man that it is in his power to give life to new matter, when we tell him that it is in his power to command matter, to command animals, to command the elements, to direct the evolution of his planet, to be responsible for his planet, man can't even imagine what we're talking about. All he hears are words, some form of rhetoric that can easily become an esoteric or occult philosophy, when in reality what we transpose onto a verbal plane is part of a consciousness, a wisdom, a reality, to which he belongs, to which he is entitled, but of which he is totally prodigal, or rather prodigious. Man must become prodigious, since he is prodigious. That's why I've been telling you for weeks that your emotions are your greatest enemy, that your fears are the ramparts behind which your emotions hide and burrow. And one day, through your own experience, you'll have to know and realize the depth of what I'm telling you today, because what I'm telling you today will never cease to be a reality in your life to come. If I tell you this or that, I don't tell you these things because I enjoy telling you. I tell you because I have to tell you, and it's up to you to undergo the presence of my person, to discover, one day, in the more or less near future, the reality of it, and this reality will become your own reality. the game of the mind, the game of words, the game of philosophy, the game of the masters, the illusions of the masters, the illusions of truth, the illusions of everything we've heard since the beginning of time, must at some point collapse. And man must experience the collapse within himself, and this is the highest condition of his evolution. You have to experience the collapse of everything you believe yourself to be. Where there is emotion within you, there will be delay on the planes. Wherever there is destruction of a form that captivates your emotion and roots it in the animal nature of your own evolution, you will be able to move forward. You will find, you will rediscover, you will see and see how simple your life is, and the life of man. If I talk to you about lies, it's not to talk to you about lies, it's to create a vibration in you that will one day serve as a mirror for your lies, that will serve as a mirror for your truths, because I'm more interested in your truths than in your lies, because your truths are bigger lies than your lies. Because your lies are already conceived, established, recounted, understood, accepted and rejected by your egos, and your truths are already points of support on which you have built the edifice of your knowledge since the beginning of your birth, and this edifice is founded on quicksands that is truth. One day you'll understand that truth doesn't exist, that lies don't exist, that lies exist because truth exists, and when you've understood this, you'll have understood what I've understood. In everything you touch with the fingers of your mind, you will realize duality, and you will suffer from this duality. You will suffer as much from truth as from lies, because truth comes from lies and lies from truth. Look at history, and when you're free of this duality, you'll be outside form, and you'll have understood essentially what man must be to begin his movement, his pilgrimage into the infinity of pure consciousness. Everything else is part of your experience. I'm grateful, I sympathize with you, but I have no sympathy for you. I understand the dilemma of your thoughts. I understand the resistance of your ego. I understand your humanity, but I'm not part of it. I sit at your table because I love you, but you can't sit at mine without my consent. The greatest restraint on man's mind, the greatest entertainment of man's mind, his thoughts. Imagine not being able to think, and yet this is the starting point of the new man. Your memory is dear to you, you love it, you strive to maintain it, and yet it delays you. Your thoughts are pleasant, the screen of your imagination creates all kinds of pleasures, and yet they delay you. The man of tomorrow, today, no longer has a choice. You no longer have a choice, because you are no longer today what you were yesterday. And look inside yourself, look around you, and you'll see that I'm right, because there's a law in the cosmos, and this law, which we can call the law of the sons of light, dictates that all the sons of light will recognize each other. And when the sons of light recognize each other, they are no longer bound to the seniority of their relationship, but are bound to the present of their becoming, for they do not have the power to return to the memory of the past, but they do have the presence in their minds to retain within them what they were in the past, even though they are unaware of this vibration. That's why the sons of light are interested in what I say or don't say. For me, it doesn't matter, because I know that those who belong to this race must, one day or another, meet. Everything is written, everything is known, everything is known, only the ego trembles before the unknown. And that's part of his experience, and that's what makes him strong and centered, and what gradually gives him his new life. Understanding what a lie is will, in time, reveal just how foolish you've been. And at some point, when you've understood and not necessarily suffered as I have, you'll understand the value of each of you, how important you, as an individual, are. You yourself, whether you're fat, small, beautiful, ugly, it doesn't matter, but you, your spirit, how important it is, how great it is. But it will be great only to the extent that you yourself can measure it, because I'm not going to measure it for you, because if I measure it for you, I'll make it smaller. But when you are great, I will agree with you that you are great, and this greatness is not measured by your intelligence or your intellectual mastery. The most difficult thing about the end of one cycle and the beginning of another is that those who have to make the transition are never able to know right away what it's all about. They have to find out, and for a number of years they have to live with the burden of doubt, the weight of waiting, and the heaviness of patience. But what do you want me to say? I went through the same thing myself. What you know today and what you'll know over the years I've lived through. And a man can't talk about what he doesn't know. He can only talk about what he does know. If what he knows is false, it's false. And if what he knows is true, it's true. If what he knows is that, it is that. And what I'm saying is neither false nor true, it's this. If I told you true or false, if false, I'd make enemies of you, and if true, I'd make beings of you who need a master. I would arouse in you spiritual and loving feelings that would lead you to carry me flowers, to carry me on a carpet, to feed me. But I'm not telling you what's true or false, I'm telling you what is that, the synthesis of the two. I'm telling you what doesn't belong to me, what belongs to everyone, on every plane. I tell you what spirits are obliged to confirm when confronted with my spirit. I tell you what I know. Don't worry about what you know, worry about what I tell you, because you know nothing. Everything you know I can destroy, because it's form, matrix, and one day you'll have to destroy form yourself. But before you can destroy form, you have to know that it exists, you have to know to what plane, to what level, it exists. So my goal is always anonymous. It will always be anonymous, but in time you will become synonymous with who you are. You can't live your whole life in anonymity, in your own personality, in doubt of who you are. Why, in the past, has the truth been used to dumb people down? Because it isn't real. Why has lying been used to enslave people in the past? Because it's not part of reality. Why have human beings always been thirsty for reality? Because they have souls. Why have human beings always been attracted to the truth? Because they were sensitive to reality. Look at the game of man and his evolution. Look at the game of his mind. Look at the evolution of his mind and the correspondence with the development of his history. And you see constantly, over the centuries, the conflict of true and false. But who imposes this conflict on man? It's not man himself, but intelligence is superior to him, whose existence, role, and function he doesn't know, and whose laws he doesn't know in relation to him. And it's time, today, for man to know the laws of the spirit in the same way as he knows the laws of physics and chemistry. It's essential. And I'll say it in every corner of the world, and I'll have it recognized on every plane to which I have access. And no force will be able to delay what I say. No force will be able to delay what I say, because I'm not part of man. I have come to man, because I know the painful condition of his evolution, because I know, through experience, the laws of evolution, because I know, through my experience, the laws of the cosmos. It's often said in human literature, you can bring a horse to the river, but you can't force him to drink. I say, I don't bring the horse to the river, I bring the river to the horse. and he's obliged to drink, because the river is transported by words, its freshness is in the words, and at some point, when the horse is hot, he's forced to cool off. If we have to wait for the truth to come along, we'll always be under the illusion of a greater truth. At some point, we must realize the form of both the lie and the truth. And when we have this realization in the vibratory consciousness of our being, we begin, at that very moment, to live. And this life grows, and grows, and grows, and grows, and grows, and no force, no lie, no truth can hold it back. The mind becomes free, it becomes sure, it becomes more self-centered. It loses its egocentricity. It loses its qualities and defects. It becomes anonymous. Man becomes simple. Personality adjusts to ego, ego to soul, and forces penetrate. Man grows, vibrations change, and one day he knows reality. If any of you are still searching for the truth, I assure you that one day you will be forced to let go of that search and live your life in the vibration you find yourself in at that moment. And from that moment on, you'll be fine, calm, sufficiently adjusted to yourself. Man is so primitive in his conception of things that to reveal to him things that are not of his time would impose on him an experience that would totally upset his psychology, his being. So he must be prepared slowly, bit by bit, so that the onion loses its layers, and man eventually arrives at the center of this onion, which is the center of his own reality. Among yourselves, in the years to come, when there are exchanges, it will be essential for you to be able to feel the vibration in the words of those with whom you are in dialogue. And those who can experience this vibratory relationship with each other will be friends forever. And I wish you that, because there's no greater pleasure than talking. And when it was said, even in the past, that speech is silver and silence is gold, it was valid, because man doesn't know how to speak. But when man knows how to speak, speech is golden and silence is futile, because there are too many things to say. Well then, I'll continue once again. Man, especially today's man, lives an anxious life. Some people live a very anxious life, because they're more or less aware of how difficult life is, both today's life, and the life they'll be living in 10 or 15 years' time, in society. And this anxiety on the part of man is normal. It's not natural in the perfect sense of the word, but it's normal. And although it is normal, man must learn to overcome it, because anxiety is based on emotion, and it is based on the absence of knowledge of the future. If man knew the future, his anxiety would be diminished, if not totally eliminated, but as he doesn't know the future, his anxiety is fundamentally derived from his emotional state, and it continues for years, even if, from time to time, he manages to create placebos to reduce it. But the man of tomorrow, the man who interests the hierarchy, the man who interests those who know the future of mankind, must, little by little, realize the illusion of worry. And this is not easy, but there is a way that is based on the conscientization of this same man. Man must learn to align himself with each day, and not with a future measured in weeks, months, or years. But to align himself with each day, he must have a sensitive enough conscience, which can enable him to realize that everything works out fine, absolutely everything works out fine. But before the events materialize in his experience, there is often an element of time, and this element of time he must learn to live with, not by being attached to the measure of this time, but by living in his very day. This time which may extend over a period which may be long, but but which is known in its eventual outcome. So if a conscious man makes telepathic contact with the hierarchy, he may be told that in such and such a time, such and such a problem will be solved. As long as the individual does not have this ability to communicate with the higher planes of himself, he is forced to live psychologically through this time, which is long and, because of his emotions, creates a vibratory tension within himself that creates anxiety. It's easy for me to tell you that everything works out, but it's not easy for you to see that everything works out. That's why I'm telling you, so that you come to realize that everything works out, so that you come to easily admit that everything works out, so that you come to develop the habit of realizing that everything works out. And once you've developed this habit, that everything works out, it will be easier for you to control the psychological time that separates you from the future event that will make everything right, and you'll be able to live your life, every day, in a healthier way, without suffering for nothing, from an emotion that often betrays anxiety and worry. Man must always maintain the highest level of energy within himself, and it's the emotions that kill this energy, that rob man of his vital forces, that cause him to age prematurely and prevent him from living his life in a normal way. As long as man has no excessive suffering to live through, it's very easy, and I know that for the people I know, it's easy to come to live their lives in a fairly balanced way, provided they're capable of admitting certain fundamental points concerning the dissociation that exists almost perpetually between man's spirit and the spirit within man. Man must come to feel, within himself, the vibration of spirit, to be able to live from this vibration and not from the energy that emanates from his emotions and weighs down his material life every day. The consequence of this habit, of this way of looking at things, can only make it easier for you to realize, within yourself, the difference between worry and fulfillment, a psychological fulfillment that is real, a psychological fulfillment that is linked to your activities, a psychological fulfillment that is linked to your creative action against the loss of energy coming from an emotion that is not controlled. It's no longer a question of man living his life philosophically. It's a question of living it according to the fundamental principles that govern the laws of his spirit, and learning not to worry about tomorrow, not to try to solve problems in advance, is essential because it's part of the synthesis of the spirit and its power over man's life. No matter how hard you try to solve your problems in advance, you'll always be missing a parameter in your equation, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, the parameter comes to mind and you say, "Ah, that's what I had to do. But why did you worry 2 weeks before, for nothing?" It's a bad habit that comes from thinking about your problems. You must never think about your problems, you must solve them, but you can never solve them before it's time, because you don't have all the parameters of the equation. So man must learn never to try to solve his problems, to wait for them to solve themselves. There's a nuance in what I'm saying. What I say is what I mean, but what I say is not necessarily what you think I mean. You get the idea? It's a nuance that can only be communicated to you through internal understanding. And when you live it, when you know this nuance, at that moment you're able to stop worrying about your problems, because your problems will take care of themselves, and your problems will solve themselves. It's a different psychology. As much effort as you've put into solving your problems in the past, in the future you don't have to put any effort into solving your problems. And at the stage you're at in the experience we've had together, in the transmutation of your vibrations already, I'm sure there are some of you who understand what I mean. And those who do, realize for themselves that this is how life works. There is no other way. And when you make life work any other way, then you're putting far too much coal into the furnace. and it heats up. And it heats up. Man's problems are caused by the spirit in man for the benefit of man's spirit. And when man is aware of the spirit within him and realizes the will of the spirit within him, he realizes that at some point in his life, he must learn to be as intelligent as the spirit within him. And when he is as intelligent as the spirit within him, he no longer creates problems for himself. He no longer experiences problems, because he has defeated the planetary vibration within him that comes from the interference in his life of certain forces that are beneficial to his evolution, but which are linked to planetary evil. Then man, in his day-to-day actions, eventually comes to withdraw more and more from the forces that cause or originate in planetary evil, and eventually man no longer creates problems for himself. But only when he has succeeded in defying the spirit within him, in controlling the spirit's energy within him, meaning in developing his will, because the spirit within him is voluntary. He is the container of this will, and undergoes the will of the spirit within him. As long as he remains unaware, he doesn't realize that the spirit within him is using life to vibrate his mental and astral bodies, in other words, to create suffering within him. But when he has become conscious, when he knows the law of the spirit within him, when he can speak with the spirit within him, when he can collide with the spirit within him, when he can strengthen himself against the spirit within him, when he can dialogue favorably with himself against the spirit within him, at which point he is able to create a new era in his personal life and begin to control his destiny. Meaning to do what he wants and not what the spirit wants him to do in order to create suffering within him. Man, at this point, is in a state of self-centeredness, and the more he becomes aware, the more he is in vibration, the more he is in the force of life, the more he can neutralize all the vibrations, the energies that seek to create problems for him. And when man no longer has any problems in life at any level mental, emotional, etheric, or material, he is ready to enter the invisible. Man cannot enter the invisible unless he has solved the equation of life, that of destroying, within himself, the spirit's power to create for him and against him problematic conditions at every level of his experience. And at that point, man is ready to enter the etheric and enter a plane of vibration and energy that is totally harmonious, totally perfect. This is why problems on the planet are extremely important to man. In the past, man's problem was that he didn't know how to understand the laws of problems. In the transition period, man has the advantage of knowing and understanding the laws of problems. In the future, man will experience no more problems, because he will have understood the law of problems, and the law of problems is essential for man to understand, because when he has understood this law, he defies planetary laws, he conditions his will.